The call comes on a hot afternoon. A child's room sits 20 degrees above the set point, and the house feels uneven from wall to wall. The equipment is new. The installer blamed the sun. You walk the space with a small meter, a tape, and a comm plan. Three numbers will tell the truth. Room CFM. Available static pressure. Friction rate. If the numbers line up, comfort follows. If they do not, no brand or sales pitch will save it. You start where comfort lives, one room at a time. How many BTUs that room gains in an hour? How many cubic feet of air it needs to carry that heat away? You mark targets on paper before you size a single duct. The family watches you write. It looks simple. It is simple when you respect the steps. Start with air. Then the system will keep its promise. Chapter 1. Start with air. Loads room CFM. Hook one line. Stop guessing and give each room a CFM target that keeps the promise of comfort. Scope. This chapter covers room-by-room load and how to convert it to airflow for typical residential forced air systems. It applies to cooling and heating where ducts move the air. It is not a full software load course. It gives you a field method that stays within good practice for most homes. Safety. Work with care in attics and crawl spaces. Use gloves and eye protection when you open ceiling cavities. Watch for nails and sharp metal. Do not disturb old insulation that could hold hazards. Use a stable ladder and a second person when needed. Respect electrical panels and live circuits near air handlers. Follow local code for access and work areas. Tools and materials. You will need a tape measure or laser measure. You will need a thermometer that reads room and supply air. You will need a simple calculator. You will need a load worksheet or notebook. You will need a compass or a phone compass for orientation. You will need a light and a camera for records. Setup. Walk the house and list every conditioned room. Note the use of each room. Note orientation to the sun. Note window count and size by eye. Note shade from trees or overhangs. Note ceiling height. Note if rooms share walls with garages or attics. Take one photo per wall and one photo per window group. That is your setup. Steps. Step 1. Measure each room's floor area. Write length and width. Multiply for square feet. If the ceiling is higher than 8 feet, write that. If the room is 2 stories open, write that. You need volume awareness, even for a quick pass. Step 2. Estimate sensible cooling load for each room. A clean quick rule can start you in mild climates. 10 to 15 BTU per hour per square foot is a common range. Use the low end for shaded rooms with good windows. Use the high end for sunny rooms with poor windows. In hot sun rooms with west glass, add a cushion. Write the number you choose and why. If you have exact window data, note it and reduce the guesswork. Step 3. Estimate latent load if the climate is humid. Bedrooms and kitchens often need a small latent allowance. For a quick pass, 5 to 10% of sensible can be held aside for latent. Write the percent you choose. This keeps your total honest in humid seasons. Step 4. Convert sensible BTU per hour to supply CFM. Use the clear sentence for the ear. CFM equals sensible BTU per hour divided by 1.08 times the temperature difference. The temperature difference is the drop from room air to supply air and cooling. A common target is 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Say it out loud as you write. Sensible BTU per hour divided by 1.08 times 20 gives CFM. Work one example on paper so the math is clear to the homeowner and the crew. Step 5. Set target room temperatures by use. Bedrooms often feel right at a slightly cooler set point at night. Kitchens can run warmer. Do not overcomplicate this. Pick a single home set point for design, such as 75 degrees in cooling and 70 degrees in heating. Write any special room notes so the plan remains clear. Step 6. Place supply and return on paper for each room. Put supply near loads. That is the windows or exterior walls for cooling. Place returns so air crosses the room. Bedrooms need a return path with a duct return or a well-sized jumper or transfer grill. Write the choice so carpenters and drywall crews can see it early. Step 7. Check your totals. Add all room CFM targets on supply. This should align with equipment airflow. For cooling, most residential systems move about 350 to 400 CFM per ton. A 3-ton unit wants about 1,000 to 1,200 CFM. If your total room CFM is far above or below, review your room loads and your temperature difference choice. Adjust with reasons, not guesses. Step 8. Write a short note for each room where rules of thumb do not apply. Tall ceilings add load. Big west windows add load. Closed doors without a return path add pressure and starve supply. Kitchens with big hoods can change the balance. Laundry rooms with dryers can pull air from the rest of the house. Flag these so the team treats them with care later. Verify. Now check one room with your thermometer. Run the system if it is safe to do so. Measure room air and supply air at that room. Note the temperature difference. If it is less than your design value by a large margin, you may be short on airflow or coil capacity. Do not change the formula. Change the inputs with care. Recheck totals. If you have an airflow hood, spot check a grill and see how close you are to the target. If the hood shows half the target, you have a duct issue to solve in later chapters. Common fails. Do not size airflow from square feet alone with no thought for windows or sun. Do not ignore returns for bedrooms and offices. Do not push all latent load into one room. Do not promise comfort without a written CFM per room. Do not keep a rule of thumb when the room tells you a different story. Document. Take a photo of each room from the door. Take a photo of windows and note glass type if known. Take a photo of your worksheet line for that room. Save the photos in a folder with the room name. Inspectors and warranty teams like clear notes. Homeowners like to see care and math. Recap. You measured rooms in simple terms. You set a sensible and latent plan. You converted BTU per hour to CFM with a clear sentence you can speak. You checked totals against equipment airflow. You flagged rooms that break the simple rules. Chapter 2, The Pressure Budget. Hook 1 line. Know your pressure budget before you size a single duct. Scope. This chapter gives you a clear way to set the pressure budget for a residential forced air system. You will define total external static pressure, subtract coil and filter drops, split the remainder between return and supply, and write one number called available static pressure. You will not do friction math or duct sizing here. You will leave with a clean target that the next chapter will use. Safety. Lock out and tag out the air handler or furnace before drilling test ports. Wear eye protection and gloves. Keep hair and clothing clear of moving blowers. Use a vacuum while drilling sheet metal to control shavings. Seal test ports when you are done so the cabinet does not leak. Follow local code for working in attics and crawl spaces. Use a stable ladder and a second person when needed. Tools and materials. You will need a digital manometer that reads inches of water column. You will need 2 static pressure tips with flexible tubing. You will need a drill with a step bit sized for the pressure tips. You will need foil tape or rubber plugs to seal test ports after measurement. You will need the equipment data plate photo and the coil and filter specification sheets. You will need a simple worksheet or notebook. Setup. Power down the equipment and remove the blower door. Photograph the data plate that lists blower model and the rated total external static pressure. If the plate does not list it, note that most residential blowers are rated near 0.50 inches of water column. Some variable speed models allow higher values, such as 0.80. Confirm the true rating from documentation when possible. Next, locate the indoor coil and note the model. Collect the coil pressure drop table. Collect the filter size and type, and its clean pressure drop from the manufacturer chart if available. If you cannot find a filter chart, you will measure it clean and write that number. Steps. Step 1. Drill 2 test ports. Drill 1 in the return plenum a few inches before the blower. Drill 1 in the supply plenum a few inches after the coil. Keep ports away from elbows and transitions so the readings are stable. Install rubber plugs or tape ready to reseal. Step 2. Power the system. Run the blower on the highest cooling airflow tap or program. Let it stabilize for 2 minutes. Set the manometer to read pressure as inches of water column. Zero the meter in free air so the reading is true. Step 3. Measure return static. Insert the tip in the return test port with the tip facing into the airstream, but not directly at the blower. Connect the tubing to the negative side of the manometer. Read the number and write it. Say it out loud for the record. For example, return static is -0.15. Step 4. Measure supply static. Insert the tip in the supply test port with the tip facing into the airstream. Connect the tubing to the positive side of the manometer. Read the number and write it. Say it out loud. For example, supply static is +0.22. Step 5. Add the absolute values to get total external static pressure in the field. In the example, 0.15 plus 0.22 equals 0.37. Compare that to the blower rating on the data plate. If your measured total is above the rating, flag it in red. The blower is working outside its rated limit, and comfort will suffer. If your measured total is well below the rating, note that there may be airflow margin or an oversized blower speed. Step 6. Measure filter pressure drop. With the system still running, place one static tip right before the filter and one right after the filter. Use the manometer to read the difference. Write the number with the filter as installed today. If the filter is dirty, replace it and measure again so you have a clean baseline. Say the final clean number out loud and write it twice. For example, clean filter drop is 0.10. Repeat, clean filter drop is 0.10. Step 7. Confirm coil pressure drop. If you have two ports across the coil, measure it like the filter. One tip before the coil and one tip after the coil. Read the difference and write it. If you do not have ports across the coil, use the coil table. Find the row for the airflow you plan to move, such as 1,100 CFM on a 3-ton system. Read the coil drop from the table and write it. If the table gives a range, pick the middle and note it as an estimate to be verified later. Say it out loud and write it twice. For example, coil drop is 0.15. Repeat, coil drop is 0.15. Step 8. Build the pressure budget. Start with the rated total external static pressure from the blower data. Subtract the clean filter drop. Subtract the coil drop. The remainder is the available static pressure for ducts and fittings. Write it large at the top of the page. For example, rated total is 0.50, minus filter 0.10, minus coil 0.15. Remainder is 0.25 available for ducts and fittings. Repeat the remainder twice. Available static pressure is 0.25. Repeat, 0.25. Step 9. Split the available static between return and supply. A simple starting split is half to return and half to supply. For the example, that gives 0.125 on return and 0.125 on supply. If the return side is long with many turns, shift more budget to return. If the supply side is long with many branches, shift more to supply. Write the split you choose and why. This gives design targets for each side before any friction math in the next chapter. Step 10. Check the filter face velocity and revise if needed. Calculate the filter face area by length times width. Divide airflow by face area to get feet per minute. If face velocity is high, pressure drop will rise and eat your budget. As a quick guide, keep face velocity near 300 to 400 feet per minute for 1-inch pleats and lower for media cabinets. If your velocity is higher, plan a larger filter cabinet or a second return. Write the action. Step 11. Set a target for accessory losses. If there is a UV light, an electronic air cleaner, or a high MERV filter, each one eats pressure. Use the manufacturer data to assign a drop. Subtract these from the budget, just like the coil and filter. If you do not have exact data yet, reserve a small allowance, such as 0.05, and label it provisional. Update it when you select the accessory. Step 12. Freeze the numbers. Copy four numbers to the top of your worksheet. Rated total external static pressure. Clean filter drop. Coil drop. Available static pressure for ducts and fittings. Copy the chosen split for return and supply. Circle them. These numbers control the next chapter. Verify. Turn the system off and remove the test tips. Seal all test ports with rubber plugs or foil tape. Power the unit and repeat the total external static pressure measurement at least one more time to confirm your readings agree within a small amount. If the readings drift, check your tubing and tip direction. If the total is higher than the rating, tell the homeowner and write a corrective plan. That plan can include larger returns, a larger filter cabinet, or duct changes. If the total is under the rating but air delivery is still weak, the issue may be duct design or balance, which you will address later. Common fails. Do not measure total external static pressure on the wrong sides of internal components. Measure return before the blower and filter, and supply after the coil. Do not build a budget with a dirty filter number. Always set the baseline with a clean filter. Do not ignore the coil table. A wet coil can drop more pressure than you expect, and the table keeps you honest. Do not assume the blower rating. read the plate or the manual. Do not skip the split. If you do not assign return and supply shares, you will chase numbers later. Document. Photograph the blower data plate. Photograph the manometer showing return static and supply static. Photograph the filter cabinet and the filter model or the size written on the frame. If you measured coil drop, photograph the readings and the coil model. If you use tables, screenshot or print the row you used and mark the airflow. Save everything in a folder named by the job, date, and the word pressure. Inspectors and warranty teams respect clear records. Homeowners trust what they can see. Recap. You measured return and supply static and added them to get total external static pressure. You set a clean filter drop and a coil drop from measurement or tables. You subtracted those from the blower rating to get available static pressure. You split that budget between return and supply with a short note on why. Chapter 3, Friction Rate and Sizing Path. Hook 1 line. Turn your pressure budget into real duct sizes with one clear formula. Scope. You will convert available static pressure into a friction rate using total effective length. You will list fitting equivalents, add straight runs, and get one number per side. You will then pick trunk and branch sizes from a chart using that friction rate. You will add a conservative correction for flexible duct. No velocity or grill noise here. Safety. Gloves and eye protection for sheet metal edges. Stable ladder for attic and crawl entries. Watch for exposed screws, nails, and low truss cords. Keep power secured when working near blowers. Follow local code for access and supports. Tools and materials. Tape or laser measure. Notebook and pencil. Calculator. A standard fitting equivalent length chart. Duct sizing chart for round and rectangular ducts. Marker for layout sketches. Setup. Choose the critical path. Pick the longest supply run from the blower to the most distant supply register. Pick the longest return path from that room back to the blower or filter. You will size from these worst case paths. Draw both paths in the notebook with each fitting labeled. Steps. Step 1. Measure straight lengths on the supply path. Write each segment in feet. Add them for a supply straight total. Step 2. Assign equivalent lengths to supply fittings. Use your chart. As a simple guide for round metal, a tight 90 often adds about 30 feet. A long radius 90 often adds about 15 feet. A Y adds about 20 feet. A takeoff adds about 10 feet. Write the numbers you choose from your chart. Step 3. Measure straight lengths on the return path. Write and add them for a return straight total. Step 4. Assign equivalent lengths to return fittings. Use the same method. A return elbow at the unit can be high loss if it is tight. Choose a value from your chart and write it. Step 5. Add totals. Supply total effective length equals supply straight plus supply fitting equivalents. Return total effective length equals return straight plus return fitting equivalents. If you prefer a single system number, you can add supply and return together. If you follow the split method, you will keep them separate. Step 6. Write available static pressure from the last chapter. If you split it, copy both numbers. For example, supply available static is 0.125. Return available static is 0.125. If you use a single system number, write that instead. Step 7. Calculate friction rate. Speak the formula once. Friction rate equals available static pressure times 100, divided by total effective length. Do it for supply with its length and share. Do it for return with its length and share. The unit is inches of water column per 100 feet. Round to 2 decimals for field use. Step 8. Work one full example. Example numbers follow. Available static for ducts is 0.25. Split is half and half. Supply share is 0.125. Return share is 0.125. Supply straight is 40 feet. Supply fittings add 75 feet. Supply total effective length is 115 feet. Return straight is 30 feet. Return fittings add 60 feet. Return total effective length is 90 feet. Friction rate supply equals 0.125 times 100, divided by 115. That is 12.5 divided by 115. Result is 0.11. Friction rate return equals 0.125 times 100, divided by 90. That is 12.5 divided by 90. Result is 0.14. The return side is tighter. You can accept the higher rate only if your chart supports the sizes you want. A better move is to reduce return losses or shift more budget to return. Write the choice. Step 9. Pick sizes from the chart using the friction rate and target CFM per run. Example guidance for round metal at a friction rate near 0.1. 6-inch round often carries around 100 CFM. 7-inch near 160. 8-inch near 230. 9-inch near 300. 10-inch near 400. Use your chart for exact values. Size trunks for the total CFM that remains after each branch takeoff. Size each branch for its room CFM. Step 10. Apply a flexible duct correction. Flex that is stretched straight and supported every 4 feet still has more loss than smooth metal. A safe field rule is to reduce its CFM capacity by 20 to 30%. Another field rule is to size up by 1 inch on branches that use flex longer than 6 feet. Write the rule you will use and keep it consistent. Step 11. Check rectangular choices. Use an equivalent round diameter from your chart. Keep aspect ratio near 1 to 1 or 2 to 1 when you can. Tall skinny ducts raise loss. Wide flat ducts near truss cords risk compression. If you must change shape, hold the area that your chart requires. Verify. Run a quick sanity check. At the air handler, pick the trunk size that carries the full system airflow at your friction rate. As you step down the trunk, confirm each new segment size still carries the remaining airflow on the same chart line. If any segment falls off the chart for your rate, increase that size or lower the friction rate by reducing losses. If you change the return split, recalc the return friction rate and confirm your return sizes again. Common fails. Do not skip fittings in the length math. Every elbow and transition counts. Do not size branches from square feet alone. Use the room CFM you wrote in Chapter 1. Do not mix a system friction rate with a supply only length. Keep the math consistent with the split you chose. Do not ignore flex corrections. Sag and bends will steal your budget. Document. Photograph each path sketch with straight lengths and fittings labeled. Photograph the fitting chart you used and mark the values you chose. Save a copy of the friction rate math with supply and return totals and the chosen split. List each trunk segment and branch with final sizes and target CFM. Store all files in the job folder with the date and the word sizing. Recap. You measured the longest supply and return paths. You turned available static into friction rate with one clear formula. You chose duct sizes from a chart and added a flex correction that keeps you honest. Chapter 4, Velocity, Noise, and Terminals. Hook 1 line. Set air speed for quiet rooms and choose terminals that throw air where people live. Scope. This chapter turns airflow targets into air speed at ducts and grills. You will set velocity ranges for trunks, branches, and returns. You will size registers and grills by face velocity and free area. You will choose throw and pattern for comfort. No friction math or pressure budgets here. Safety. Cut sheet metal with gloves and eye protection. Use a stable ladder for sealing work. Keep hands clear of spinning blower wheels. Vacuum metal shavings after drilling or cutting. Seal sharp edges before anyone reaches into a boot or plenum. Follow local code for return placement near fuel appliances. Tools and materials. Tape measure. Calculator. Simple vane anemometer if available. Notepad. Marker. Acoustic mastic or gaskets for boots. Short duct liner sections were allowed by code. Setup. Open your sizing worksheet from the last chapter. Write the total system CFM. Write the CFM for the main trunk, each branch, and each return. Walk every room. Note ceiling height, grill locations, and where people sit or sleep. Steps. Step 1. Set velocity targets. Aim the supply trunk between 700 and 900 feet per minute. Aim supply branches between 500 and 700 feet per minute. Aim return trunks between 600 and 800 feet per minute. Aim return branches between 400 and 600 feet per minute. These ranges keep noise down in homes and leave margin for balancing. Step 2. Check duct velocities against your sizes. For each trunk and branch, divide CFM by duct area to get feet per minute. If a segment exceeds the target, increase the size one step. If a segment is far below the range, you may be oversized and risk poor throw. Adjust only the segment that misses. Keep the rest of the path as sized. Step 3. Target face velocity at terminals. For supply registers, aim 300 to 500 feet per minute at the face. For return grills, aim 250 to 400 feet per minute. Lower is quieter. Higher can whistle. Write targets for each room based on its use. Bedrooms prefer the low end. Step 4. Size the terminal by free area. Free area is the open louver space. If you do not have a catalog number yet, estimate free area as 60% of the nominal opening. Calculate needed free area as CFM divided by target face velocity. Example: a branch delivers 120 CFM. Target face velocity is 400 feet per minute. Needed free area is 0.30 square feet. Convert to square inches by multiplying by 144. That is 43 square inches. Choose a nominal size that gives at least that free area with your 60% estimate. You will refine it when you pick an exact model. Step 5. Choose throw and pattern by room. For ceiling supply, select a two-way or three-way pattern that throws across the main occupied zone. Aim for the airstream to travel about two-thirds of the room length before it slows. For floor supply under windows, use a pattern that lifts air up the glass to wash the load. Do not blow straight at a thermostat. Do not blow straight at a bed or a desk if you can avoid it. Use an opposed blade damper at the register only for fine trim, not to choke a small duct. Step 6. Place and aim with intent. Put supply near exterior loads. Put returns high in cooling zones and low in dedicated heating zones if the layout allows. Keep a straight section before each supply boot. Two duct diameters of straight length helps reduce grill whistle. Avoid placing a takeoff right after a tight elbow. Air needs space to straighten. Step 7. Control noise at the source. Keep branch taps gentle with low loss fittings. Use long radius elbows where you can. Add short sections of liner inside supply boots where code allows. Seal boots to drywall with mastic or gasket to stop edge whistle. Set balancing dampers at takeoffs near half open as a start. Do not run a system with many branches nearly closed. That raises velocity and noise in the few that remain open. Step 8. Design the returns for quiet paths. Bedrooms need a return path when doors are closed. Use a duct return, a jumper duct, or a transfer grill sized for low face velocity. Aim 250 to 350 feet per minute at the transfer. Undercut doors seldom meet airflow needs. Write the size and location so the carpenter can frame for it early. Step 9. Select registers and grills with simple rules. Bedrooms and offices do well with ceiling two-way near the load wall. Large family rooms may use three-way or four-way to spread air. Tall spaces may need a higher face velocity and a larger free area to carry the throw. Returns look better when centered on a wall outside of direct sight lines. Beauty matters to the homeowner. Quiet matters more. Verify. Start the blower. Use a vane anemometer at a few supply registers. Take several readings across the face and average them. Compare to your target. If the face velocity reads much higher than planned, increase the grill size or reduce branch velocity by upsizing the branch. If throw is short, try a register with a tighter pattern or a larger free area at the same CFM. Use a simple smoke pencil to watch the airstream cross the room. It should reach the far half of the room on a cooling day without blowing on faces. Common fails. Do not let branch velocity exceed 700 feet per minute in a bedroom. Do not choose a tiny register and then choke it with the damper. Do not skip the straight duct before a boot. Do not aim supply at the thermostat. Do not forget the return path for closed doors. Document. Photograph each room showing register and grill location and aim. Record terminal sizes, estimated free area, and target face velocities. Save an anemometer photo or reading notes for at least one supply and one return. Store these with the sizing worksheet under a folder named by job and date with the word terminals. Recap. You set velocity targets for trunks and branches. You sized terminals by face velocity and free area. You placed and aimed for comfort and kept noise low. Chapter 5. Layout that wins. Hook one line. Route it clean, keep losses low, and your design will survive the attic and the crawl. Scope. You will choose a layout that moves air with the least fight. You will compare trunk and branch versus radial. You will pick low-loss fittings. You will plan return paths that work with closed doors. You will use closets and chases on purpose. You will note special moves for attics and crawls. No code lists. No ceiling or insulation here. Safety. Walk the route before work. Watch for nails, low truss cords, and exposed wiring. Use a stable ladder and crawl boards. Wear gloves, eye protection, and a dust mask in old attics. Keep clear of chimneys and flues. Respect clearances around furnaces and water heaters. Do not stand on drywall ceilings. Tools and materials. Tape or laser measure. Chalk line. Marker and labels. Layout sketches on grid paper. Fitting takeoff chart. Sample long radius elbows, Ys, and reducers for show and tell. Hangers and strapping to test support spacing. A light and a camera. Setup. Open your sizing sheet. Highlight the main trunk sizes and each branch CFM. Walk the home. Mark the equipment location, closets, and straight shot chases on your sketch. Mark the rooms with high loads and the path that will carry them. Note big obstacles such as beams and stairs. That is your setup. Steps. Step 1. Pick the system style. Use trunk and branch for most homes. It gives you one main highway with short side streets. Use radial only when the air handler sits near the center, and each branch can be short and straight. Avoid the octopus plenum with many long flex runs. It is hard to balance and loud when branches pinch. Step 2. Lay the trunk where it can run straight. In an attic, run along the ridge or a clear bay. In a crawl, hug the beam line with room for supports. Keep reductions at logical CFM points. After a takeoff, let the trunk run at least 2 duct diameters before the next elbow or reducer. Step 3. Space takeoffs with intent. Leave 2 to 3 duct diameters between takeoffs on the same side. Stagger top and side taps to reduce interaction. Do not place a takeoff right after a tight elbow. Give air a straight section to calm before it turns into a branch. Step 4. Choose low-loss fittings. Use long radius elbows for trunks. Use Ys instead of Ts for splits. Use smooth reducers over 2 duct diameters of length when you can. Use curved boots or radius boots at supplies. Avoid hard right-angle transitions at boots and plenums. Step 5. Run branches short and straight. Keep each branch as short as the plan allows. Minimize bends. When you must bend, keep the centerline radius at least 1 duct diameter. For flex, pull it straight, support it every 4 feet, and avoid saddles that pinch. If a branch exceeds a reasonable length, switch that branch to metal or upsize one step. Step 6. Place supplies near the load wall. In cooling, that is the exterior wall or the window side. Aim the throw across the occupied zone. Keep 2 duct diameters of straight duct before each supply boot to cut whistle. Keep branches off the plenum top if the plenum is crowded. Use short starter ducts to get clear first, then turn. Step 7. Design return paths that work with closed doors. Bedrooms need a duct return, a jumper duct, or a transfer grill sized for low face velocity. Central returns alone can starve rooms when doors close. Keep returns out of kitchens, garages, and laundry rooms. Place main returns on quiet walls away from beds and desks. Step 8. Use closets and chases as highways. Mark a straight chase from the equipment to the far rooms if possible. Frame the chase wide enough for the duct size plus hangers and an air gap. Keep bends gentle. Cap the chase tight at floors and ceilings to keep it clean inside. Reserve the space early so other trades do not block it. Step 9. Plan the attic route. Keep the trunk high to avoid truss cuts, then drop branches down. Cross trusses at openings, not through members. Avoid walking on ducts. Keep branches off hot roof decks when you can. Group branches to similar rooms to minimize long crossings. Pre-cut small pieces of straight duct to bridge from trunk to each boot with one clean bend. Step 10. Plan the crawl route. Keep ducts off the ground with hangers. Avoid low belly sags where condensate can collect on cold days. Stay clear of standing water zones. Use rigid elbows at turns and short flex tails to boots. Keep returns high and dry. Leave a clear crawl path for service. Step 11. Coordinate with framing and drywall. Mark boot and grill locations on the floor and ceiling. Call out joist or stud bays you will use for straight shots. Ask for framed returns where you need a large opening. Protect boot openings with caps so debris stays out during construction. Step 12. Add balancing access now. Place balancing dampers at takeoffs, not at registers. Install them where you can reach them after drywall. In tight attics, put dampers near the trunk side so you can adjust from a walkway. Start every damper near half open for the first test. Verify. Lay a string line along the planned trunk in the attic or crawl. Check for clashes with trusses, beams, and lighting. Hold sample elbows where the route turns. Count how many tight turns remain. If you count more than 2 tight turns in a short stretch, revise the route or change to long radius fittings. Check branch lengths against your sizing plan. If a branch will run far beyond the length you expected, upsize or reroute now. Common fails. Do not stack many takeoffs in a row on the same side of the trunk. Do not put a takeoff right after an elbow. Do not run long flex with sharp bends. Do not rely on door undercuts for returns. Do not hide balancing dampers where you cannot reach them. Do not route ducks through flue spaces or crowd flues. Document. Photograph the trunk path with tape marks at takeoff spots. Photograph each room showing supply and return locations. Photograph closets and chases before they close. Save a plan view sketch with trunk sizes, branch sizes, and fitting types labeled. Store the set in the job folder with the date and the word layout. Recap. You chose trunk and branch for control or radial for short runs. You set a straight trunk, spaced takeoffs, and picked low-loss fittings. You kept branches short, planned real return paths, and used closets and chases to win space. You set balancing access where you can reach it. Chapter 6, Tight and Dry, Ceiling, Insulation Code. Hook 1 line. Lock the air in, keep the water off, and your ducts will last. Scope. You will seal joints so leakage is small. You will insulate to the right level for the space. You will control condensation with clean vapor skins. You will respect clearances near fuel appliances. You will note when smoke and fire dampers are required. You will follow plenum rules. No layout or test math here. Safety. Wear gloves and eye protection. Use a mask when working with old dust or loose insulation. Ventilate when using solvents. Keep a fire extinguisher close when near furnaces or water heaters. Respect sharp metal. Use a stable ladder. Follow local code for clearances and fire blocking. Tools and materials. Water-based duct mastic rated UL181. UL181 tape for metal and UL181B tape for flex. Nylon draw bands with a tensioning tool. Sheet metal screws, number 8 by half inch. Foil-faced duct wrap insulation or pre-insulated flex with rated R value. Vapor barrier jacket tape. Brush for mastic. Scissors and utility knife. Staple gun for wrap facing when allowed. Spray bottle with mild soap solution for quick bubble checks. Camera for records. Setup. Walk the system. Circle every joint, seam, takeoff, boot, and duct to collar. Mark flex to metal connections. Mark the supply plenum, return plenum, and coil case joints. Note which ducts are in attics, crawls, garages, or conditioned space. Write a leakage goal for the job. A strong field target is 5% or less of system airflow to outdoors. If code sets a stricter limit, write that instead. Note target insulation levels by location. Many homes want are 8 in attics and are 6 in crawls. Conditioned space often needs no wrap, yet seems still need sealing. Steps. Step 1. Seal metal to metal seams first. Brush mastic along longitudinal seams and around the laps of round pipe. Bed the mastic into the joint. Aim for a bead about 1/16th of an inch thick. Press tape only on clean dry metal. If you choose tape, roll it tight so no edges lift. Use screws at 3 points around each round joint, then mastic over the heads. Step 2. Seal takeoffs and collars. From the trunk side, butter the flange with mastic before you insert the collar. Lock it and add a screw if the collar design allows. On the outside, brush a full ring of mastic where the collar meets the trunk. Inside the branch, run a thin band of mastic around the collar, seam if you can reach it. Let it skin before you pull flex over it. Step 3. Do flex to metal connections right. Slide the flex inner liner over the collar at least 1 inch past the bead. Apply a full band of mastic under the liner. Pull the liner tight. Place 1 nylon band at the bead and tension it until snug. Add a second band 1 inch away. Trim excess tail. Pull the outer vapor jacket over the collar and seal that jacket with UL181 tape. The inner seal holds air. The outer seal holds vapor. You need both. Step 4. Seal boots to building surfaces. Butter the boot flange to drywall or floor with mastic, or use a compressible gasket. Fasten the boot with screws. Tape the boot edge to the finished surface so no gap whistles. Cap boots during construction to keep debris out. Step 5. Chase the plenums. Seal all seams of the supply plenum, the return plenum, and the coil case. Pay extra care to the coil case joint. Many leaks hide there. If the plenum transitions are tight right angles, add internal turning vanes only if design calls for them. Your sealing job is to close every crack and screw hole. Brush, press, and check. Step 6. Wrap for location. In attics, use our 8 wrap with a foil jacket. In crawls, our 6 is common. Measure the duct circumference and cut wrap with an overlap of 2 inches. Wrap tight without compressing the insulation. Tape the jacket seam with UL181 tape. Stagger seams around the duct so water has no path in. At hangers, place short rigid saddles so straps do not crush the wrap. Step 7. Keep the vapor barrier unbroken. The shiny jacket is the vapor skin. Every cut or seam must be taped. At collars and boots, bring the jacket right up to the metal and tape to metal or to itself. Avoid gaps that let humid air touch a cold surface. One small gap can sweat and drip. Treat each joint like a roof detail. Step 8. Insulate takeoffs and plenums. Takeoffs often sweat first in humid spaces. Wrap them fully. Seal the jacket seam. On metal plenums in attics, add external liner or wrap to the required R-value. Leave service panels clear and mark them. Then tape the jacket to the panel edges so techs can remove and reseal without tearing the skin. Step 9. Protect returns from dust and hazards. Do not use garages, kitchens, or laundry rooms for return air paths. Keep returns away from water heaters and furnaces that draw room air. Maintain the clearance listed on the appliance label. If a return must be near a fuel appliance, follow code for combustion air, sealed rooms, or dedicated enclosures. When unsure, stop and get a permit check. Step 10. No smoke and fire damper basics. When a duct passes through a rated wall or floor, a listed damper may be required. The damper type must match the rating and the airflow direction. The frame and sleeve must be installed per the listing, not by feel. Access panels must allow inspection and reset. Write the location and rating for each damper you plan. If the job is residential with no rated barriers, you may have none. When in doubt, ask the inspector early. Step 11. Follow plenum rules. Do not use stud bays or floor cavities as supply plenums. Many codes allow limited return use of building cavities only under strict conditions. Best practice is to run a hard duct or a line chase for returns. If a return drop uses a framed shaft, seal the shaft tight and line it as required. A clean dedicated path beats a leaky cavity every time. Step 12. Support and protect. Space hangers so metal stays round and flex stays straight. 4-foot spacing is a good start for flex. Add rigid saddles where straps cross. Keep ducts off hot flues. Keep at least 1 inch of clearance from metal chimneys unless the chimney label demands more. Do not lay ducts on sharp edges. Do not pinch wrap under tight strapping. Step 13. Control condensation with temperature and dew point in mind. Cold air in a warm, humid attic drives sweat on bare metal and on torn jackets. The cure is unbroken insulation with an intact vapor skin. Keep supply ducts away from roof decks when you can. Fix any air leaks first, then repair jackets. If sweat persists on a known cold spot, add a second jacket patch over that location. Step 14. Address penetrations. Where ducts pass through walls or floors, seal the gap around the duct with approved fire stopping or foam per local rules. Tape jacket edges to sleeves so the vapor skin stays whole. Keep identification stickers visible. Step 15. Set leakage goals by test. A field stretch goal is less than 5% of system airflow to outdoors at 25 pascals. Another honest goal is under 4% of total airflow for a tight new system. Your code may specify a number at a given test pressure. Write the goal you must meet. Plan to test after sealing and before insulation when possible, then touch up and wrap. Verify. Do a quick bubble check with soap at suspect joints. A steady string of bubbles means a leak. Brush more mastic and retest. If you have a duct tester, pressurize to 25 pascals and record leakage. Compare to your written goal. Walk the attic or crawl and feel for cold air on your hand with the blower running. Check boots and collars by touch. Look for dark streaks on insulation that mark leaks over time. After insulation, run the system on a humid day. Inspect for sweat. Any wet jacket needs a fix. Seal the skin and add a jacket patch. Common fails. Do not rely on cloth duct tape. It dries and peels. Use UL181 tape or mastic. Do not clamp flex without mastic under the liner. Bands alone leak. Do not leave the outer jacket short at the collar. Vapor will get in and sweat will start. Do not bury a leaking joint under insulation. Fix the leak first. Do not run returns through garages or pull air from furnace rooms with open burners. Do not cut fire-rated assemblies without proper dampers and fire stopping. Combustion safety notes. Keep required clearance from single-wall vent connectors. Follow the label on the appliance. Do not place returns in the same room as a natural draft water heater unless a sealed plan exists. Test for backdraft with smoke at the draft hood after your ductwork is complete. If the smoke spills, stop and call a licensed pro to correct the room air plan. Document. Photograph every sealed joint before insulation. Photograph flex bands and the mastic band at collars. Photograph boot to drywall seals. Photograph wrapped ducts showing jacket seams and tape. Photograph any fire or smoke damper with its label visible. Save a short video of a duct test screen if used. Store all files under the job folder with the date and the word sealing. Recap. You sealed metal seams, collars, plenums, and boots. You made tight inner seals for air and tight outer seals for vapor. You wrapped to the right our value for the space and kept jackets intact. You respected clearances, returns, and damper rules. You set a leakage goal and checked it. Chapter 7, Commission and Prove It. Hook one line. Measure it, balance it, and leave proof the system keeps its promise. Scope. You will verify airflow and pressure, set temperature split, balance rooms, and document results. You will create a clear handoff for the homeowner and the inspector. No design math or fitting selection here. Safety. Lock out and tag out the air handler when drilling or opening panels. Wear eye protection and gloves. Use a stable ladder. Keep hands clear of moving blower wheels. Ventilate attics and crawls and watch footing. Tools and materials. Digital manometer with static tips. Airflow hood or vane anemometer. Thermometer with fast response. Clamp ammeter. Drill and step bit for pressure ports. Rubber test port plugs and foil tape. Balancing key for dampers. Notebook or digital form. Soap solution and a small smoke pencil. Setup. Confirm filters are new and clean. Confirm all registers and grills are installed and open. Set the thermostat to call for cooling. Let the system run 10 to 15 minutes to stabilize. Open your sizing and velocity targets from earlier chapters. That is your setup. Steps. Step 1. Measure total external static pressure. Drill ports if missing. Place one tip in the return plenum before the blower. Place one tip in the supply plenum after the coil. Read return as negative. Read supply as positive. Add the absolute values. Compare to the blower rating. Speak the number twice. Example. Total external static pressure is 0.42 inches of water column. Repeat. 0.42. Step 2. Verify filter and coil drops. Read pressure across the filter and across the coil. Compare to your budget numbers. If drops are higher than planned, note the cause and the fix. A higher filter drop may need more face area. A higher coil drop may point to airflow short. Step 3. Check blower speed against airflow target. If the unit allows programmed airflow, confirm the correct tonnage and mode. If the unit uses taps, set the speed that matches the target CFM on the data sheet. Note blower amps and compare to the nameplate. High amps can signal high pressure or duct restrictions. Step 4. Traverse the return or use the hood. If you have a hood, measure total system airflow at the return grill or at the supply plenum if you have a calibrated ring. If you have a vane anemometer, take multiple readings across a return grill and average with free area for an estimate. Compare to the system airflow target you wrote earlier. If total airflow is low, correct restrictions before you balance branches. Step 5. Measure temperature split. Place one probe in return air near the blower and one in supply air after the coil. Let readings stabilize. Cooling split often lands near 18 to 22 degrees Fahrenheit with proper airflow. Speak and write both numbers. If split is too low, airflow may be high. If split is too high, airflow may be low or charge may be off. Correct airflow before calling a refrigeration tech. Step 6. Balance the trunk and main branches. Start with all takeoff dampers near half open. Measure face velocity or CFM at a few key supplies with the hood or vane meter. Adjust takeoff dampers so priority rooms hit near their targets. Make small changes and wait 1 minute after each change. Keep damper positions noted in your log. Step 7. Balance rooms by target CFM. For each room, measure supply CFM. Compare to its room target from Chapter 1. If a room is high, close its takeoff damper slightly. If a room is low, open its takeoff damper or verify branch size and flex condition. Do not choke with register dampers unless the mechanical damper cannot be reached. Leave registers fully open when possible. Step 8. Set return paths. Close bedroom doors one at a time with the system running. Use the smoke pencil at the undercut or transfer to see flow. If the door pressure stalls supply flow, increase the return path size or add a jumper. The goal is near neutral room pressure with doors closed. Step 9. Confirm noise and throw. Stand at each room entry. Listen for whistle or roar. Use the smoke pencil to watch the throw cross the occupied zone. If throw dies early, select a register with more free area or a tighter pattern at the same CFM. If noise is high, check branch velocity and increase size where needed. Step 10. Recheck total external static pressure. After balancing, repeat the measurement. Write the new number. It should remain at or under the blower rating. If it rises, look for dampers set too low or a filter face velocity that is still high. Step 11. Quick leakage and sweat check. Use soap solution at suspect joints while the blower runs. Bubbles show leaks. Seal and retest. In humid weather, scan for damp jackets and repair the vapor skin where needed. Photograph fixes. Step 12. Handoff and education. Walk the homeowner through filter size and change schedule. Show the location of balancing dampers and note that they should not be moved. Provide the target thermostat settings for comfort and efficiency. Explain that closed bedroom doors need return paths to keep balance. Verify. Capture final readings in one table. Total external static pressure. Filter drop. Coil drop. Total system airflow. Room CFM measurements for at least 3 rooms. Temperature split. Blower amps. Damper positions. Face velocities at 2 terminals. If you used a duct tester, include leakage at 25 pascals. Read every number out loud to confirm, and then save to the job folder. Common fails. Do not balance through register dampers alone. Do not leave a room short on return when doors close. Do not mark success without written numbers. Do not ignore a temperature split that is far off. Fix airflow first. Do not leave test ports open. Seal them tight. Document. Photograph manometer readings at each step. Photograph the airflow hood screen. Photograph each room's register with a note showing target CFM and measured CFM. Take a short video of the smoke test at a transfer grill. Save a copy of the final table and a simple floor plan marked with damper positions. Provide a one-page homeowner sheet with filter size, change interval, and your service contact. Recap. You confirmed pressure within the blower rating. You set total airflow. You hit room targets with measured changes. You checked split, noise, and throw. You documented everything and taught the homeowner how to live with the system.